Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Dorky, goofy, yet I'm earnest.
All right. Hi, everybody. Patrick Foster here. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Rockin' the Suburbs. This is another installment in a series we've started recently, and I believe this will be our third edition of Meet the DJ. And this is where we're going to talk to DJs on the Rockin' the Suburbs radio station and just find out about their show and et cetera, get to know them. And I think there may be a lot of people who listen to the podcast who don't haven't tried out the radio station. So maybe by talking to the DJs, you'll find a show that maybe you want to kind of get started with. And certainly we'd love that. So today, on the other end of the line is Bob Peterson. Bob, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
Thank you very much for the time. I appreciate it. It's good to talk to you. Bob, you and I met in person at Suburbs Fest Midwest, and that was a really, really wonderful time. And you actually did your radio show live from a hotel room during that weekend, didn't you?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, especially since I had about 12 other people in the room, most of which are also DJs. And it was a party in there, and it was a lot of fun. And that was the only time I've ever recorded live. And it was a thrill. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do it more often, but my schedule's just too unpredictable.
Right. Right. Not a lot of people are like me, and they never leave their basement, and so they can do their show live. But let's start with the basics, Bob. What is your show called, and when does it air on Suburbs Radio?
My show is Midlife Crisis, and it airs on 4 Eastern on Thursdays with a replay at 3 Eastern on Saturdays. It's a one-hour show.
Very cool. Very cool. And so I guess the obvious question here is, maybe not obvious, but Midlife Crisis, why did you choose that as the title?
Well, it's where I am in my life. I'm a middle-aged man, and I'm going through a midlife crisis, and being a disc jockey is my way of dealing with it in a very therapeutic and healing way.
Very good. Very good. I love that. There's so many other things that you could have done for that midlife crisis, right?
My wife allows me to buy a lot of vinyl and music because it's not cocaine or strippers or a sports car.
There you go. That's beautiful. And I will say, too, that you do have the unfortunate distinction of coming before my program. So I'd like that there's something organized and coherent before my show actually airs. And I will tell people at this moment, too, just as a quick reminder, if you want to hear a little bit more about Bob's background, there's a little bit on 2 really, really good episodes that we did with Bob that aired earlier this year. They're episodes 1381 and 1382. And not only can you learn a little bit more about Bob, but you can learn a lot about Bette Davis, who one of kind of the most underrated singers, designer, artist, incredible person. And if you don't know anything about Bette Davis, definitely go back and listen to it. But you can learn a little bit more about Bob there. So, Bob, do you have any kind of DJing radio-wise in your background?
Absolutely not. I mean, okay. I have no music background, no musical talent. I may have sang in choir in middle school, but that's about it. I can't play an instrument, but I love to listen to music. I've always loved to listen to music. And I've always found, especially over the last 20 years, when I listen to the radio and DJs that I like, it's like, wow, that's inspiring. I wish I could do that. And when this opened up, it was like, you know, like a baseball fan going to a fantasy camp with the major league stars. I mean, me playing DJ is a dream, and it's a great outlet for what little creativity I have.
And I've found it to be tremendously fun, just, you know, from a perspective of you know, doing it and putting everything together. Do you find it to be the same way?
Absolutely. I mean, I love putting together this playlist. A little background about my show is I tend to do themes.
Yes, that's right.
You know, sometimes the themes run throughout the whole hour. Sometimes I'll do a number of themes, you know, within the show, like one, you know, each set has its own theme. But I just like that because that's kind of the way I view music. I hear a song and then all of a sudden I think of what links this song to other music I like. And even though, like I say, I consider myself, you know, creative, I also am, there's that part of me that likes to categorize and put things together and lump things together. And sometimes the connections are pretty loose, but that's just the way I like to put my playlist together. And I've already got probably 7 or 8 ideas for shows.
Wow.
And it's amazing because like I told you, I listen to music and podcasts while I'm walking my dogs. And sometimes I hear a song and all of a sudden it just triggers a flood of ideas like, wow, that would be a cool idea to do a theme on. And sometimes it's, you know, really, sometimes it's off the wall. Sometimes it's topographical. Sometimes it's autobiographical. So it's kind of cool.
Absolutely cool. I totally love it. And I listen every week when I'm preparing to put my show together, and I'm always blown away by the choices you make and those very connections. I love it when it's not, you know, very obvious, you know, like this theme is going to be whatever. And then, you know, oh, I know that one's coming next. And I don't find that at all with your show. But tell us about some of the ones you've done and how you feel like, you know, were there ones that you thought that you enjoyed more than others, or just talk about some of the more recent or ones you started with.
My interest in music is pretty eclectic.
Yes.
So it's all over the place. It goes anywhere from the 70s to current. And before I get into the themes, that's really kind of why I call it a midlife crisis. I find that I have the nostalgia that a lot of people go through and the music triggers memories, but I have this restless spirit that I want to keep exploring. You know, I've heard that people get stagnant in their musical choices after 30, and I'm so far from that. And I think that restlessness is part of maybe just the life changes, wanting to stay young, wanting to stay vital. But anyways, with the themes, like I said, some of them have been autobiographical. I had a show I liked where I just played the music I was listening to in high school. Yep. And I had the actual vinyl records I still own from high school to kind of show my evolution, where I was discovering all these styles, going from punk to metal to, you know, classic rock to indie rock.
Yes.
And even the burgeoning alt country bands. And that was really cool. So there's that. There's also another biographical show I really liked. It was called Family Vacation. It was after I took a trip out to Rocky Mountain National Park with the family. And then I played songs dealing with that. You know, for instance, obviously, Lindsey Buckingham's Holiday Road started it off. But then I played songs about driving, songs about staying in hotels, songs
great.
About mountains. And that was a lot of fun. I've also had topographical ones. You know, I think my favorite one, and I'm not a political person, but this one just came together so easily. It was called Insurrection Selections.
It was
about
beautiful.
The January 6th trials. And that was a blast. I wish I had 2 hours for that one.
Yes.
Because there were so many good, but that one really flowed nicely. Some of them are just off the wall. I had one called Bipolar Music where this was kind of more my free form, where I played, you know, 4 different sets. Like I weighed one set of super fast, short songs, all punk rock songs under 2 minutes. Then I went into a really long, somber song. Then I went back to the fast songs for a set and then another long song. And I was trying to mimic what bipolar disease was like, going from mania to depression.
Yeah.
And that one was probably my best production because my last song I played was Shine On You Crazy Diamond. So not only did I have a slow song, it was just perfect to kind of capture mental illness. And the song ended literally 2 seconds before my hour. And it couldn't have planned it any better. And I think I even got a comment like, wow, it's just kismet, because I usually don't plan that well.
Remember when you were young? You shone like the sun. Shine on your crazy diamond.
So there was that. And then I've just done some really weird ones. Like, I remember I heard the song, I was discovering this Captain Beefheart album, and he had a song called Yellow Brick Road. And I said, I wonder if I could do a theme on Wizard of Oz.
That
and
just was great.
I was like, all the songs just came up, you know, songs about the scarecrow, about the witch, about, you know, melting. And, you know, and that one was fun. But like I say, the songs, when you have a theme like that, you can draw from a wide variety of genres. I might have like meat puppets. I might have Chuck Berry. I might have, you know, the Dead Kennedys, you know, but I love everything. If people, and then I've also done just some genre ones. I like to kind of get into more obscure genres. Like I did one called Psychedelic Funk. That's not a really well-known genre, but I played a lot of stuff from the 70s where there was funk bands who kind of dabbled in psychedelic music. And I had one recently called Country Funk. It was the same thing, you know, country bands and funk bands that kind of had a hybrid of country, you know, R&B and country. And that was a lot of fun. The inspiration comes from a lot of different directions. But if people really want to know what where my wheelhouse is for music, you know, it would be obviously indie rock. It would be 70s music, anything from the 70s. I'm really finding I'm going back to that, because as a vinyl collector, the music there, everything, whether it's prog rock, whether it's classic rock, whether it's early punk, whether it's R&B and soul, it just sounds so much better on vinyl. So a lot of the vinyl I buy is from the 70s, and there are a lot of bands that I'm still discovering even though they're 50 years old. So that's kind of my wheelhouse right there. But I got to admit, there's a lot of areas, styles of music I don't know about, and that is all covered by the radio shows, you know, on Rock in the Suburbs Radio. Like if you listen to Eric Didrikson, who's on at I think 9 o'clock Eastern.
That's right.
On other days, he has such an encyclopedic knowledge of all these new bands, and there's like half his playlist I've never heard of, but it's all really, really good.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Nick Sclera has got such a great knowledge of, you know, jangle pop and pop bands, especially from the land down under. I love discovering music from him. You know, Harris King, I've never listened to electronic music, and I don't have any knowledge of it, but I learn a lot when I listen to his music. And, you know, I've started to develop an interest in that too. And then Zach Cruz, for example, his radio show on, I think it's Wednesdays, he's just got some really bizarre macabre horror music, you know, a lot goes back to the 50s and surf rock and stuff like that. And oh man, it's that's a cool album. And then obviously your show, holy cow, there are so many bands from every era. So like I say, I kind of like the eclecticism of Rock in the Suburbs Radio, and I like to do that on my show too.
It totally reflects. And one you didn't mention that I really loved was when you did the one on circus. It was like carnivals and circuses. That one was really fun. It really was. And just songs, some I knew, some I did not know, but it was fantastic the way those all came together.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the songs I know, but sometimes I got to admit, I'll just like Google a word and just see what's, you know, in Apple iTunes, in my own collection. And then sometimes I'll go beyond that and I'll find some. And I've discovered some new artists and some new songs that I hadn't heard just
by doing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So one thing I will mention to everybody, too, is that Bob is really good on the Twitter. If you go to his handle, which I believe is Midlife Radio. Is that right, Bob?
Yeah. Midlife Radio.
Midlife Radio, all one word. And the playlists are all there, which is fantastic. So if you hear something you like, and this was the case when you did your – I can't remember when you did this. It must have been July or something, but you played your favorite songs of the year so far. And that one was great because there was a lot that I loved but didn't exactly know the name of, and went back and found the playlist there. So that's a follow you guys want to give to Bob for sure. And also we'll remind you when his show's coming up, because he usually will give a shout-out on Thursdays. So you said, Bob, that you haven't hosted radio before. How would you describe your hosting style as a DJ?
I'm dorky, goofy, yet I'm earnest.
That's beautiful. Yeah. What more can you ask for?
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, I don't feel entirely comfortable when I feel better when I talk to people than when I talk to a microphone.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm on my job, I'm talking to people all the time, and I feel like I'm pretty articulate, but I feel that goes away when the microphone is in front of me. And there's some disc jockeys I love to listen to, but they all have this cool style that is nothing like me. You know, there's some radio shows I really listen to, like Ben Vaughn's. It's called The Many Moods of Ben Vaughn. Uh-huh. He's just got this really cool laid-back style and great music. Tom Petty's Buried Treasure, that's another radio show I love, and he's got this just cool style. He seems like the cool uncle you'd want to hang out with.
Yeah.
I know people probably listen to me and they're like, oh man, this guy's just an absolute dork, but I like his music.
I don't think it comes across that way. Well, my only tip for aspiring DJs is, if you want to do what I do, is just talk to yourself all day long. So you're constantly doing that anyway.
Right.
Walking down the street, talking to yourself. So you hinted a little bit, Bob, and I don't know how much you want to reveal.
Yeah.
But what are some of the ideas that you have for shows coming up?
Well, probably this is probably going to air after Suburbs Fest. I have a good one.
Yes.
You know, for September new music, they'll be playing the day that Suburbs Fest starts.
Okay.
And I'll be playing some music with the Suburbs Fest bands. But I have one I'm going to just do. It's probably a pretty easy topic, and I would probably encourage all the DJs to do this, but I'm going to do an hour of what I think are the most underrated bands.
Okay, great.
And that comes from actually a topic from the Rockin' the Suburbs podcast that we recorded at Suburbs Fest in Chicago. I think David Lane talked about underrated bands, and I heard some. I'm actually going to play some of the bands that people mentioned there, as well as some of the ones I like. And obviously, you'll hear a lot of bands from the 70s.
Yep.
I have one, just some bizarre themes, and it's all based on a song I heard. I'm going to do one show of the Seven Deadly Sins, and then next week I'm going to do the Seven Cardinal Virtues.
Oh, beautiful.
I'll have a Halloween theme.
I was going to ask about that, yep.
Yeah, and I'm going to probably, it's on the back burner. I've been thinking about it for a long time because it's hard to get the songs just from titles, but I want to do a couple of shows on just medical songs since my medical background.
Yes.
And I don't want to just do some, you know, cheap song that says, get me a doctor, or I got a fever burning inside of me. by the way, you know, the Foreigner songs are horrible, hot-blooded and urgent. You know, they talk about urgent, emergency. It can't be urgent and emergent. It has to be one or the other.
One or the other, please, Foreigner. Yeah.
But anyways, I'll do a medical show. And some of them are pretty deep. I mean, I like some of the songs that are a good riff on medicine. And there's some songs that are really, really, I think I listen to it, I'm like, man, they definitely capture chronic disease or the grief that goes with that pretty well. So it'll be all over the place. But That one will probably be a little more personal for me when I do that. So I want to make sure that I have a good playlist and I feel comfortable with before I air that. I had one based on a Twitter that you and Craig Rosen had. You guys were showing some stuff about Killdozer and Firetown, and I'm going to do a Butch Vig.
Nice.
You know, especially because it gives me a chance to play some of the bands he was in. I was in Madison when he was in some of the bands like Firetown and Spooner. And, you know, you'd see him and Doug Erickson walk around Madison all the time, and they were approachable and nice. And this was before he became a big star with Nirvana. So,
yeah.
I mean, even then, after he produced Nirvana and was a household name, he was still playing shows before he was in garbage. And you could talk to him, and he seems like he's still that same guy. And so I'm going to play music from the bands he was in and some of the bands he produced, but it gives me a chance to play Wisconsin bands. There's
love
some that.
That
people don't know about that I want to play. The one I'm going to try to find, it was a band he was in with Doug Erickson. I don't know if they actually recorded anything, but they said they had a joke band called Rectal Belch. So if I can find Rectal Belch, I'll play that.
That's beautiful. That could also be on the medical show if you needed it. Yeah.
Right. But it leads to a lot of good, you know, albums that he produced. And there's probably way too many for an hour show, but then I just had a brainstorm this morning. I have about, a dozen CDs that I bought recently at record stores. And they're all CDs that I never owned before when the albums were big. And I'm like, you know, I should do a Better Late Than Never. You know, just
that's a great idea.
You know, it's like, gosh, these are stuff that I'm late to the party on. and I just discovered now, and I'm not sure why I didn't like it when it came around, but I'm going to probably do a better late than ever. So that's kind of, you know, where my inspiration comes from, is just stuff around me. I don't have to reach too far.
That all sounds very exciting. And I will tell you right here on the record, for anyone who wants to hold me to this, absolutely do it. If you need extra time on Thursdays, Bob, just let me know. As much of that first hour as you want, you can have it for sure. We'll spill over. Yeah. Oh, okay. You're good with the hour. Okay.
But actually, that was kind of fun. I would love to go live again, probably when I have more predictable time, because that was fun to just – because they asked, I remember as I was finishing or doing my show, Keith Jacobson sent me a message saying, can you go longer? And I was like, sure. And, it was fun to just pick songs at random at that time.
Yeah.
They weren't really at random. I had them saved up for future playlists, but I said, let's do it now. And that was a blast. It was
so cool. And I remember Bill Mulligan and I trying to get to the hotel, stuck in traffic outside of Chicago as you played. That was fantastic.
I tell you, it was kind of cool, like listening to Scott Parks' radio show on Sunday, where he just did all requests. And I think and that's a good way to make sure you get listeners is, they'll tell them you're going to play their song and they'll listen to your show.
I think Kevin and Jim have both done that, and that has worked out well. And it leads me into a question I wanted to ask. And now, you have said that your schedule, obviously because of your profession, is never set in one thing or another, but do you have a certain time when you like to record this, your radio show? Like, is it always at 8 o'clock in the morning, or is it just whenever you can find a quiet, hour and a half to do it?
Oh, it's at nighttime, so I can drink beer.
Oh, there you go. Beautiful. I love that. I love that. Now, because we've discussed the eclectic nature of your ideas and playlists, this may be a difficult question, but if you had to pick one or two artists that you probably have played more than any other, who do you think that might be through the course of your show?
Oh, that's easy. The Replacements are my favorite band.
Is that
so
right?
I find any way to play them, or, the solo stuff or bands that sound like them. So yeah, I'm a huge Replacements fan. And then there's a lot of bands that I really like that I haven't really found my way. I love The Clash, but they haven't found, and Neil Young, but they haven't found ways, and Jimi Hendrix. I think I'll kind of spill the beans a little bit. There's a couple of new bands that I really, really like and try to get them on at every chance I get. And they'll be on my underrated one, but that would be the new band Eyelids,
Yes.
I had that running joke about Eyelids on the 7-Eleven Surgery Center.
That's right. Thing.
But so Eyelids is a band I think is just amazing. It's a, I love to, that's what I like to do, is try to sell people on, new bands. Another band, new band I like to promote that I try to get in every chance I get is the Lemon Twigs. So I'd say I look to play those two bands as much as I can.
Sweet.
But if you talk about genre, I like to go back to 70s music. I think that's such a fun era. That's where I like to play the most, because it really captures that, underground radio, like the spirit of your radio show. 70s music just kind of fits that so well.
The golden era of, FM radio, when people started playing the deep cuts and all that freeform stuff started to happen. It's so cool. It's such a fun listen every week, Bob, and I just really enjoy it. And thank you so much for bringing your talent to Suburbs Radio. And of course, we always want to thank Keith Jacobson for the wonderful job he does as the general manager of this station. But it is, again, Midlife Crisis, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday. Every Thursday, a part of the big Thursday lineup that we have. Carl Anferson, Bob, myself, Nick, and Eric Didrikson are on that week. And you can also download our apps. We now have apps for both the iOS and Android platforms. Thanks, Kevin Goff, very much for shepherding that effort through, because it's great to just listen. And as Bob said, it's just a great radio station. I know I'm involved with it and, emigrated out of our podcast, but it really is a tremendously entertaining radio station to listen to. Just put it on anytime, and you'll hear something really good. So thank you, Bob, very much. And
my pleasure, Pat.
Yeah, and we will sign off for today and talk to you guys very soon. I am Patrick Foster, and with me has been
Bob Peterson.
Thanks, Bob, and we will talk to you guys soon.
urgent emergency.